Texas Midnight Runners and They're My Dear. Welcome to the new Soul Rebels and the Rolling Stones from Emotional Rescue. And She's So Cold at 40 minutes past 8. You cold?
No.
Like an ice cream cone? No? It's not so cold this morning, actually, but still a bit chilly in the mornings, but not too bad during the day. Now, one Bavarian supermarket is giving singles the chance to find love, or at least flirt behind their masks, every weekend. Now, can you find love while shopping in Germany? For many, a supermarket may be just about the least likely place for a starry-eyed encounter, especially at the speedy checkout for those who live in the Bundesrepublik. An Edeka supermarket in the Bavarian town of Wolkasch is trying to break through barriers amid the coronavirus crisis. Every Friday evening has been set aside for single shopping. After all, curfew and contact restrictions don't make it easy to find a partner at the moment, said the store manager. Now, every Friday between 6 and 8 p.m., singles can grab a heart with a number on it at the entrance and stick it on their jacket. If they spot someone they fancy amid the shelves, they can opt to have that person's number called out at the checkout. And those who are a bit more bashful can simply leave their phone number with a message. For this purpose, slips of paper are laid out on which the type of contacts can be ticked off, such as "I'd be happy to meet you for an orange juice in the fruit department." "I think it's a good change," said the manager.
What were you saying yesterday about you had to stay behind your trolley?
Oh, yeah, in France now, you have to stay behind your trolley when you're pushing it. You can't sort of just wander off and sort of go willy-nilly around the aisles.
So what, they would tell you, they'd tick you off if you...
Well, if they've got the staff to actually do it. I mean, the last time that when they were limiting the amount of people in shops and you weren't supposed to sort of get more than 2 metres nearest to someone,
Maybe you could just get in the trolley. Yeah. And get somebody else to push it.
But if you were doing that singles night, I mean, you'd have to inspect the contents of your sort of, the trolley.
Oh.
You know, because if they were buying a lot
would
of food
you do
that
you didn't...
Well, if they were buying a lot would of food you,
you
didn't
that?
Like...
You would seriously... You would choose whether or not to date somebody looking at their shopping
trolley.
It's hardly
a recipe for a high relationship if they're buying food that you can't stand, you know.
It's unbelievable.
What if you hate Brussels sprouts and they've got a whole big bag of them and, you know, stuff like that? Haven't seen any Brussels sprouts for ages. Anyone know where there's any Brussels sprouts around at the moment?
No. Oh, they've got baked beans with pork sausages.
Where?
Monopri.
Right. You need to say something else, don't you? Yeah, well, I mean, I think they're less popular than the ordinary baked beans.
Well, I nearly got you a few, and then I thought, I won't be right.
I do actually like the baked beans with pork sausages. I told a French person that the other day. They looked at me like I just dropped down from another planet.
Yeah, that's taking it a bit too far. No.
I did find some organic baked beans last Friday, but they were double the price of the normal ones, so I'm not having that. I've still got 3 cans left in it. I must admit, I did have a can yesterday.
Could you not take the white haricot and just put tomato sauce in them?
That's not a bad point. My very good former colleague, dearly departed Duncan Larkin, showed me a trick you can do with French haricot in tomato sauce to turn them just about into English sort of style baked beans. A dollop of ketchup, a tablespoon of vinegar, red wine vinegar, and a teaspoon of sugar.
Okay.
And you mix it all up and it tastes... Almost,
more
but not
less,
quite.
More or less, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got to be Heinz, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
For me. 57 varieties and all that. Just imagine in a few years' time, you'll be saying, and we're going back to 2021 today, and a big hit for a girl called Blue the Tiger. Can you name it? No?
No.
All right, then.
On this day in 1962, the Beatles played their first professionally organised gig outside of Liverpool at the Oasis Club in Manchester. The group set started with their version of which song?
Good Golly Miss Molly.
No, I'll give you a clue. It rhymes with Dippy.
Dippy? Hippie Hippie Shake?
Yes. Question number two. On this day in 1974, the Carpenters started a 4-week run at number one in the UK album chart with the singles 1969 to 73, featuring 12 hits. Okay.
Brown cover.
Well, which US number one track was taken from it? And it went back to the top of the charts on another 3 occasions.
Goodbye to Love?
No.
Superstar?
No.
Close to You?
Come on, and one more Carpenter's track.
No, I don't know, go on.
Top of the World. And finally, on this day in 1980, the Specials were at number one on the UK charts as single. The lead track was which
Gangsters.
Song? It was the shortest song to reach number one on the UK singles chart in the 1980s.
Message to you,
Rudy. No, it's 2 minutes and 4 seconds.
No, go on.
Too much, too young.
You've done too much. Yeah, I was going to say that one. Yeah. Big fat zero again.
Well, you got to give me a hippie, hippie shake.
Well, no, not really.
All right, I won't then.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Hi there.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Breathing a bit of a sigh of relief after the market kerfuffle settled down yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know if we've seen the end of this retail mania. Maybe it's still got some legs, but it certainly feels a little bit calmer, it has to be said. Certainly global equity markets rebounding from the aggressive sell-off that we saw last week as markets try to refocus on the fundamentals. Technology very much leading the bounce ahead of industry heavyweights. Amazon and Alphabet reporting results later today. Also seeing some positive updates around the vaccination programs around the world, seeing some particular progress in the United States. Investors also watching for progress on President Biden's proposed stimulus package. Republicans have come back with a scaled-down version of it, but eventually some compromise will be found, and hopefully that will be enacted sooner rather than later. In Europe, Stoxx 600 closed up 1.2%, along with technology. Basic resources did well, benefiting from the rise that we've seen in silver. US stocks had their biggest rally in 10 weeks. S&P 500 was up 1.6%. NASDAQ was up 2.5%. Tesla was up 3.5% yesterday after analysts increased their price targets. Opening calls on the European bourse suggest some of that positivity will continue at the open today. Currently calling FTSE up 47 points. DAX in Frankfurt up 70 points. CAC in Paris up 39 points.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people, myself included, are struggling to get to grips with these retail investors against the hedge funds. I mean, the social media sites were actually awash with comments yesterday about how the silver price going up was nothing to do with retail investors, and it was hedge funds trying to get their money back after losing out on GameStop. I don't know if that's true, but is this story going to go away?
There is some debate, of course, around whether there are some Goliaths behind these Davids, it has to be said. Some big funds moving around, taking advantage of these prices. And no doubt the investigation that we'll see after this perhaps will add a little bit of transparency. Whether we get full transparency on that remains to be seen. Silver was broke $30 an ounce yesterday as the precious metal took centre stage in the retail investor frenzy that's been sweeping through markets. Social media forums called for buyers to come into that market. Markets reacted to that. Futures contracts jumped 13% on COMEX. That saw silver price at its highest level in 8 years, driven by a binge buying of silver bars and coins by those retail investors. Also saw record flows into exchange-traded products that track the metal. Can silver be short squeezed in the same way that we've seen with other stocks? Probably not. In fact, money managers have had net long positions when it comes to silver. Silver's been a good performer over the course of the past year. I think it's up more than 60%. Remember, it's a much bigger, it's a far more liquid market than single line stocks as well. But I think some of the short-term impacts that we'll see of these flows means that it's resulting in havoc for many investment portfolios, certainly poses problems for risk models, and no doubt a headache for regulators.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is there's a loss of it, isn't there? I mean, if the price goes up, you just mine a bit more of it and it comes down again. So we saw the highs sort of coming down from 30s, you said, to $28.48 yesterday.
Yeah, but it takes some time in order to ramp up mining. You know, it's not an immediate thing that you can simply turn on, you know, the mines to produce more silver as a result of that. Remember, there have been, I think, probably 3 decades, 30 years ago, something like that, there was an attempt exactly to try and push up the silver price. And silver has an industrial use as well, so it can pose broader problems than simply from an investment perspective as well. And that failed, and it took a long time for the silver price to recover against that fall. So we have seen this before, as often in the case in markets, they tend to repeat the same mistakes.
It's not just physical silver, is it? It's paper silver and also options.
Exactly right, and this adds to complexity of understanding exactly what's taking place and who's trying to take advantage and what their motives are for trying to stimulate this flurry of activity, particularly using the network of social media.
Well, the bottom line is that it's never going to be as valuable as gold, is it? Because as somebody pointed out yesterday, if you give your wife a silver wedding ring, then you're not going to get very far.
Maybe not, maybe not.
Okay, let's move on to ASOS, which has bought out some of Philip Green's Arcadia businesses, but it looks like a lot of job losses coming on the back of that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Agreeing to buy Topshop's brand and several other labels, somewhere around £295 million. As online fashion retailers pick through the bones of some of these traditional operations, Philip Green's insolvent retail empire will sell Topshop, Miss Selfridge and Hit Brands to ASOS. The purchase includes also, I think it's £30 million, might be more than that, for inventory and current inventory that's been ordered. Last week, rival Boohoo, remember, bought Debenhams brand for £55 million. It's considering buying Arcadia's apparently Wallace, Dorothy Perkins and Burton's brands. Online retailers will not run the physical stores, as you quite rightly point out. There's some debate whether they'll keep Topshop in Oxford Street, but certainly not much beyond that, and shows you sort of the change in dynamic that's taking place in the retail world, as once again calls into question what the high street's going to look like in the future, and of course many thousands of jobs likely to go as a result of this, although of course will be replaced by the online retailers in terms of warehouse jobs, delivery jobs and all those types of things that come through. But you need to react to what markets want and what the customer wants, and this is classic example of the evolution that's been taking place, but we've seen much faster adoption rates as a result of the pandemic. ASOS said they've been selling the group's products for the past 2 years. Sales have been robust. They use the brand recognition, which still remains very high, to grow its businesses in the US and Europe.
Yeah, but as you said, it's what happens now to those empty premises. I mean, some of the Topshop stores were quite big, and when you add to the closure of stores like Debenhams and other retailers who have gone to the wall, then vast sections of the high street are going to be empty.
That's exactly right. The smaller units go much faster. It's much easier to move those on. Who wants a big floor similar to the types of Topshops and Debenhams that we've seen in the past in the current environment? Much harder to move those on. Many will be changed, of course, into different types of operations. Some will go into residential housing, no doubt. Some will become more experience-based concepts, which will increasingly, I guess, dominate the high street. So, real change is taking place, and no doubt scholars will spend many years looking at the impact of the pandemic and technology in terms of understanding the shift that's taken place in society.
I could see you owning a shop.
Really?
Yeah, the Potts Investment Shop.
Potts Investment Shop. May come up with a different brand than that.
Or Potts Adventure Travel.
Yeah, I could do that.
Sorry, I can't read my writing. What's the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Let's do Nintendo, shall we? It's raised its annual forecast after continued momentum for its Switch console. Helped the company to its best quarterly earnings since 2008. Operating profit came in 229 billion yen, or $2.2 billion, well above analyst expectations. Nintendo now expects full-year Switch sales of 26.5 million units. So profits would surge by 24%. They've benefited from a surge in sales brought on by the pandemic, but also the popularity of its Animal Crossing game. Animal Crossing helped to tap the need for soothing escapism during the course of the lockdown, helped push software sales up by 43%. And I have to say, I'm not a gamer and I'm not really into it, but I did buy Henry and Nintendo Switch, and the Animal Crossing game is the most beautiful, wonderful game you could ever imagine. It's so lovely. It's a deserted island. You start with a tent, you build it up, you catch things, you craft things, you interact with other people on the island, and you build it up, and it's the most beautiful. Honestly, I'm not a gamer, as I say, but it's the most wonderful, incredible game I've ever seen.
Sounds a bit like Farmville.
Oh, I haven't played that. Is that a similar type thing?
Yeah, and you got Bitcoin as a reward at the end of that, if you played it all those years ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably a bit more profitable than Animal Crossing when you come to the end of it. But if anyone, you think of these games as sort of shoot 'em up or driving games and so forth, Animal Crossing is beautiful, as I say, wonderful.
Yeah, interestingly, talking about Bitcoin, there hasn't been much movement since this sort of the GameStop fiasco got going.
It's true, isn't it? We haven't heard too much about it. We see these sort of fads go in terms of markets and these flows, these momentum ones, and they can be profitable if you catch it at the right point, but they can also be pretty destructive if you come in at the wrong time. And for too many retail investors, they're late to the game and certainly feel the hangover.
So should we be melting down the silver spoons this morning or not, then, do you think?
I don't think you need to go to that point just yet.
All right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar 136.5. Euro dollar coming in at 120. €1 13 cents for your British pound this morning.
Every cloud has a silver lining. Well, maybe not. Okay, thank you.
Have a good day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
Ski lifts are to remain closed in February due to the current health situation. The government made the announcement on Monday following a meeting with the Prime Minister and representatives of the industry. No possible date to reopen was given. However, financial aid will be provided for the industry, which has had to close due to COVID. In other news, a Defence Council meeting is due to be held tomorrow, Wednesday the 3rd of February. The last Defence Council took place on Friday the 29th of January and was followed by France's Prime Minister Jean Castex announcing that the government wished to try and avoid a third lockdown by closing borders, the closure of certain shopping centres, with the 6pm curfew maintained and control stepped up. The measures, however, were considered to not be enough by a majority of members of the Scientific Council, which still pleads for further measures in the fight against the threat of new variants. On Sunday, the government spokesperson Gabriel Attal refused to give a possible date for a return to lockdown, if any. The Scientific Council has, however, suggested possible regional lockdowns, as figures of COVID differ greatly from region to region in France, declaring that such a measure would allow those areas the worst hit to contain the spread and spare those with fewer cases. However, the timing for the government poses yet another problem with the school holidays and families wishing to travel within France. In line with new measures introduced on Monday by the French government, border police at France's largest international airports were turning away passengers bound for destinations beyond the European Union. Under the new health restrictions, travellers wishing to leave the European Union from France are now obliged to show written proof of an urgent need to do so. At one terminal at Paris's main airport, Roissy-Charles de Gaulle, about 20 passengers out of 300 were refused boarding on flights to destinations outside of the EU. There was little, if any, participation on Monday in the civil disobedience action called for by some restaurant owners following the Minister of Finance warning that those who took part would be sanctioned. Restaurant owners in France have been unable to serve sit-down meals since the 30th of October, despite government bailouts of up to €20,000 per month. Some say they're at breaking point, with little prospect of a return to business as usual anytime soon. Meanwhile, the number of patients hospitalised in France with COVID increased slightly on Monday. 27,874 people are currently hospitalised, according to the latest figures from Public Health France. The number of patients admitted to intensive care has also increased slightly. It stands at 3,218 compared to 3,148 on Sunday. 456 additional deaths were recorded in 24 hours in French hospitals on Monday. In total, 76,512 people, including 53,809 in French hospitals, have died from COVID-19. In the Alpes-Maritimes, currently the most affected area in France, the latest data published shows that for the week of January the 22nd to the 28th, the incidence rate was at 448.5 per 100,000 inhabitants. That's an average of almost 700 new daily cases during this period, an incidence rate which is more than double the national average of 211 per 100,000 inhabitants. According to government figures, on the GeoAude platform, which is available on our Facebook, on our website page, rivieradio.mc, and is updated daily, Nice and Saint-Laurent-du-Var have an incidence rate still above 500, while other towns in the Alpes-Maritimes, such as Antibes, Cagnes-sur-Mer, Cannes, Grasse, Menton, Mougins, Valeris and Villeneuve-Loubet have an incidence rate of between 250 and 500. Avance, however, shows one of the lowest of between 150 and 250. Monaco has deplored the death of a 65-year-old resident on Monday. To date, 14 people have died from COVID in the principality since the beginning of the pandemic. 10 additional cases of COVID were identified on Monday, with the number of residents affected standing at 1,499. 63 people are currently in hospital, 10 people are in intensive care, and 108 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. In other news, the low-cost airline subsidiary of Air France, Transavia, has announced that it plans new destinations from Toulon-Hyères Airport to Paris, Nantes and Brittany, with tickets starting at €39 one way. From March the 28th, the line will open to Paris with three flights a day all year round, while a month later, flights to Brittany and Nantes will be available from April until October. Finally, 18 departments in the north and northeast of France remain on an orange weather alert due to heavy rain and the risk of flooding. The red alert has been lifted in Corrèze, a region which saw 150 people evacuated on Monday evening, with emergency services being mobilised as a crisis unit was set up at the prefecture.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football transfer deadline day has been quiet, with only three English Premier League clubs completing cash deals and most others settling for loans. Trading was way down on previous seasons, with overall fees falling to their lowest level since 2012. Analysts suggest the clubs spent just a total of £68 million yesterday, compared with £188 million last year. The impact on the coronavirus on clubs' finances is seen as the main reason why spending was so muted. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. The Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has called on social media companies to take stronger action to tackle online racist abuse. Greater Manchester Police have opened an investigation after Marcus Rashford became the latest player to be targeted following United's draw with Arsenal on Saturday. Solskjaer says there has to be a unified effort to eradicate racism from the sport.
It's unacceptable behaviour, and it happens all across the society, and we should... Of course, we work with the authorities, and it has to be stopped. This way of discrimination on social media, we can't do a lot, can we? So we have to work with the platforms, and they've got to be more stronger to make sure that we stop this.
Monday is transfer deadline day around Europe, the last chance for clubs to sign or sell players this season. It's been a quiet window compared to usual, with few deals of note, but there has been some movement. The Everton forward Cenk Tosun has completed his loan move to Besiktas, joining his former club on loan for the rest of the season. Newcastle fullback DeAndre Yedlin has also made the move to Turkey. The USA international has joined Galatasaray. West Brom have agreed a deal to sign Arsenal's Ainsley Maitland-Niles on loan until the end of the campaign and have brought in Okan Yukuşlu from Spanish side Celta Vigo. Liverpool are close to completing a loan deal for Schalke's Turkey central defender Ozan Kabak after signing Preston North End's Ben Davies. And Brighton have signed the exciting Ecuadorian talent Moises Caicedo from Independiente del Valle. The 19-year-old arrives on a deal until 2025. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
So, four games in the English Premier League tonight. Sheffield United against West Brom in the basement battle at Bramall Lane.
A home win for Sheffield United.
I think so. I don't know why West Brom appointed Sam Allardyce. He hasn't really been pulling up any trees since he was appointed, has he? Wolves against Arsenal.
Well, Wolves will be aiming to bounce back, won't they, from their 1-0 loss to Crystal Palace. I think it'll be a draw.
Arsenal for me. Manchester United against Southampton. Bit of a wobble going on at United again, isn't there?
I'm going to go for Man United.
Draw. And Newcastle against Crystal Palace.
Draw.
Newcastle won, didn't they, last weekend? So I'm going to go for them. Two on the row. There was one game in the English Championship last night. QPR were 2-1 winners at Watford. Cricket, the England squad has left quarantine ahead of the first test against India, which starts on Friday. No positive coronavirus tests have been registered, and the players are now able to train together ahead of the keenly anticipated four-test series. England have won their last four series and are unbeaten in 10 consecutive tests. India come into the series having just beaten Australia in their own backyard. And in rugby union, some fans could return to watch Six Nations games after Scottish Rugby said the issue was under review. Scotland's first two matches against England and Wales will be played behind closed doors. There is a possibility some later games could allow a small number of fans to attend. But it seems most of the matches in this year's tournament will have to be without fans, with strict coronavirus protocols still in force in England, Ireland and France. Italy has started to lift some restrictions on everyday life in some regions, but it's not clear if that will be extended to sporting occasions. The Six Nations starts this weekend with Italy against France and England against Scotland on Saturday, and Wales play Ireland on Sunday. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Outer Maritime and the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,004 millibars over the Tyrrhenian Sea. Now, winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure of Saint-Jean Cap Ferrat 1,000 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5, the sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse 999 millibars, and the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5, southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Partially cloudy today, moderate westerly winds, top temperature 14 degrees, overnight lows of 9 degrees, with partially cloudy skies Wednesday and Thursday, partially cloudy highs of 14 degrees. Finally,
how to tell if your partner is thinking of breaking up with you. Breakups are something that many people dread, especially when you don't see them coming. And now a new study has revealed a key way to tell if your partner is thinking of breaking up with you based on their language. The study found that people contemplating the end of a relationship change their language and start saying I and we more. According to the experts, the use of the word I is correlated with depression and sadness and is a key sign that someone is carrying a heavy load. The researchers hope the findings will provide people with a key insight into how loved ones may respond over time to the end of a romantic relationship. The study by researchers from the University of Texas suggests that the use of pronouns may indicate an impending breakup.
Oh dear.